From the thunder you feel inside, I believe in the feeling. Oh, the pain that you left.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. I've talked often on the show that when a dietary template claims to become a lifestyle, it usually breaks with logic and zealotry becomes the driving force. And I've said on the show numerous times that the keto diet runs the risk of becoming the new vegan diet. Because there's a lot of people out there who do the keto diet, even though it doesn't, quote-unquote, work for them, doesn't give them the things that they expected from it. And they're told by the keto gurus out there, double down, you're just not eating enough fat. Eat less protein. And unfortunately, people follow this information. We're going to be joined by none other than Dr. Lauren Cordain, probably one of the longest standing guests that I've had on this show in 13 years. And he actually is the only guest that has his own theme music. You'll hear it in a moment to talk about this phenomenon, because he's been doing some real deep digging in this topic. Before I do that, I have to thank All American Pharmaceutical and EFX Sports for their generous title sponsor contribution they make to the show month in and month out. Go to superhumanradio.net, click the EFX banner ad, put your name and address in there, and they'll send you six of their top-selling products absolutely free. You pay shipping. It's $5 and change. It really is shipping, because Dr. Jeff believes that you should never buy anything until you've tried it and you know that it's going to work for you. And I think that's a pretty noble way to run a business.
I was paleo when paleo wasn't cool.
Dr. Cordain, how you doing?
Hey, Carl. Thanks for having me on your show again. I love that intro. I had no idea
but
you put a song together about paleo.
Just for you. I did that years ago, just for you. You know, and I almost feel like I'm pigeonholing you. I got to be honest and upfront with you. Because your approach to diet has been one of overlaying evolutionary evidence with sensibility and balance. You know, there are very few things that you've said, you know, no, you can't do that. And even when you and I have discussed milk and raw milk, you've said, well, you know, if you can get raw milk, it's probably a better thing if you're going to drink milk. You know, your approach to diet is observing the real science and balancing it with critical thinking. And, you know, it's almost like calling it paleo does you a great disservice, because it's so much broader than that.
Well, thank you, Carl. You know, and it's really not my approach. It's an approach that has been embraced by many scientists, nutritionists, and actually neither I nor any single person discovered this. We simply uncovered what was pre-existing. So, you know, our species, Homo sapiens, and our genus, Homo, have been eating in this manner for about 2.5 million years. So we simply uncovered that which was pre-existing. And that's why, you know, the basic idea behind this is not going to be proven wrong. That is, until the theory of evolution gets disproved, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. So anyway, I just wanted to, you know, last time I was on last week or the week before, I just wanted to follow up on the important idea of ketogenic diets, because they have, you know, literally sweeping the country right now, and to point out some very important nutritional disasters that result from following this diet for any significant period of time.
And on the last show that you and I did, we talked about the actual occurrence of ketosis, dietary ketosis, in ancestral populations before agriculture, and we talked about this evolutionary gift that we have, where we can actually, we're hybrids, where we can go for long periods of time without food, and the fuel our body will use changes to accommodate us so that we don't pass out, fall down, and become food. So it's not like as though we're saying ketosis is bad, ketosis is evil. Ketosis is a natural phenomenon that occurs in the body. But when you take things to an extreme and say, oh, you must be in ketosis every day, every year, that's where it starts to become the zealotry starts to
Exactly. And that's the problem with it. You know, you're absolutely right, is that we've evolved the metabolic pathways to deal with starvation and even to deal with food shortages, involving food shortages of carbohydrate. And that's exactly what ketogenic diets do. It's a deliberate attempt by humans, not by evolution through natural selection, by humans to deliberately lower your carbohydrate intake to 25 to 50 grams of carbohydrate until you get into ketosis, and to continue doing that indefinitely. Now, before we start on this, let me say that, let me make a caveat, is that if you find people that are obese or morbidly obese or have serious symptoms of the metabolic syndrome, and they use this as a crutch to get them going on to a better eating habit, fine, that's okay. So in the short haul, you know, for weeks or a couple of months, if it can help them to improve their insulin metabolism, lose weight, and get going on a better eating strategy, then that's fine. But let me tell you this, right now, if a person is a healthy normal, has no sign or symptom of the metabolic syndrome, this is a disastrous nutritional plan. And let me just give you some of the for instance, because I know we're going to be on here for a little bit longer. But one of the things that I have done, which apparently the online gurus and the people that are promoting this all over the U.S. haven't done, is to take a simple menu plan. Take a 1 week, a 2 week, or a month-long menu plan, because these menu plans are published in all the popular diet books and all the popular websites. So anybody that's interested can do this simple little experiment that I did. Take those menu plans and take everything that a person eats for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks over a 24-hour period and put them into nutritional software. The software I use is Nutritionist Pro, and it's, I think, one of the better ones available. And then when you put those meals and menu plans into this, you can analyze it for a variety of nutrients. And I can tell you some of the huge shortcomings nutritionally that come out of it when you do a nutrient analysis. And before I get into the specific nutrients, let me just point out a huge, huge notion that anybody that got a bachelor's or a master's or a doctorate in nutrition would know right off the bat. And what that is that fat, animal fat,
right,
and refined plant fat contains virtually no potassium, contains virtually no calcium, contains virtually no magnesium, contains virtually no folate, and contains virtually no vitamin C. So anybody can look at that. You can see that, all right, we've got five absolutely essential human nutrients that are not found in animal fats or refined plant fats. So if you want to do a keto diet, what you are required to do is to consume anywhere from, depending on who you're talking to, 65 to 75% of your energy from fats.
Right.
Okay, anytime you consume 65 to 75% of your energy from fats, what do you got left? You have meat, which isn't a very good source of those nutrients I just talked to you. And you've got carbohydrate, which you're limiting to 20 to 50 grams.
Right.
You, Yeah, so that's the problem.
Okay,
that's,
okay, I gotta put something in here so we move forward.
All right.
Okay, the only thing I want to add to what you said about long-term ketogenic diets is people who are managing seizures, when you hear this from the standpoint of you have no choice, or if you're managing brain cancer, you got glioblastoma, and you're...
I agree. I completely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and what you need to take away from this discussion is these are the things you better be supplementing with additionally
right.
to make sure your outcome is good.
Right. For epileptic patients, if you are following a keto diet for epileptic patients, you damn well better take potassium or you're going to become potassium deficient. You damn well better take calcium and magnesium, folate, and vitamin C, or you're going to eventually become deficient. Not eventually, you'll become deficient in these nutrients after, you know, a week or so of following these diets.
And you know what? There's a phenomenon that no one has ever been able to express the pathway. I've had Dr. Dominic D'Agostino on the show, and I've asked him, what is keto flu? Is keto flu high ketones and sugar at the same time? You know, what? No one has been able to say anything except some people get it and some people don't.
By the end of this interview, I will be able to tell you what keto flu is or feeling awful on ketogenic diets.
I was going to say, if you have low potassium and low magnesium, your electrolyte, you have cellular gradients that are thrown off. You have organ systems that won't function properly.
Well, exactly. And so when you look at the macro electrolytes, because that's what we're talking about, sodium, potassium, calcium, and magnesium, those two electrolytes operate together. And not only do you throw your potassium to incredibly low levels, what people do on ketogenic diets is they eat a ton of cheese, right?
Right.
Because, they're thinking, well, I can't really drink milk or take yogurt because if you look at the nutrient analysis, you can't take very much of that because you immediately go over the carbohydrate limit.
Right.
Because of the lactose in both of those items. So what do? They eat cheese. They eat a ton of cheese on these diets because they think, well, it's a good thing I'm getting more fat with my cheese, and so I don't have to worry about my carbohydrate. And more and more and more fat, you get tired of eating fatty meats. Let's eat more cheese. Well, guess what, Carl? Any nutritionist that has a bachelor's degree in nutrition knows that one of the greatest sources of salt comes from cheese.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. And so now listen to this. So what you're doing is because you're eating so much fat, fat has no potassium, and you're eating so much cheese, what you're doing is you're changing the potassium to sodium ratio to a value that is ridiculous.
Right.
So you're getting this huge slug of sodium and a minimal slug of potassium, and that changes the sodium to potassium ratio.
Well, and we know just in the past couple years, the evidence has come out that shows that the damning effects of sodium are when there is less potassium. A lot of the quote-unquote bad things about sodium actually are neutralized when you have adequate potassium.
Exactly. And so what you're doing deliberately, you have created a dietary disaster that deliberately cranks that potassium to sodium ratio down to a value that you could virtually never happen in evolutionary times. So that's one reason. Now, let's take another. What happens when you eat a ton of cheese? Well, the calcium to magnesium ratio, the calcium to magnesium ratio in cheese is about 10 to 1. And the advised calcium to magnesium ratio is about 2 to 1. And the reason for it is, once again, is you're eating a ton of cheese to get your fat. And the cheese gives you salt, and it gives you huge amounts of calcium, but it gives you no magnesium. So consequently, the calcium to magnesium ratio rises to about 5 to 1.
And in fact, isn't there isn't there a partnership between sodium and magnesium that in the absence of any sodium, magnesium is poorly absorbed? I have to believe that if they have that kind of relationship, then magnesium
right.
probably
calcium
affects
and
sodium.
Magnesium are antagonistic in the gut. They're
right.
two antagonists. So when you eat a ton of calcium, it prevents magnesium absorption. So probably, I'm just looking at it, you know, outside the body, but probably in vivo, it's going to be even worse. So what you're doing when you go on a ketogenic diet, you're knocking the hell out of the calcium to magnesium ratio, and you're knocking the hell out of the potassium to sodium ratio. And if that wasn't enough, Carl, if that wasn't enough, let's move on to folate, okay? There is no folate in fat, and there is no folate in protein unless you eat liver, all right? So who on a ketogenic diet is eating liver on a daily basis? Not too many folks. So you're almost absolutely certain you're going to be folate deficient. And what we've done with our analysis by running this through Nutritionist Pro, it turns out that the amount of folate that you get on the typical ketogenic diet is about 200 micrograms, and the RDA or the DRI for that is 400. So you're only getting half the folate you need. And who would think on this, who would think in the 21st century that any nutritionist worth their soul would design a diet that is deficient in vitamin C? But lo and behold, virtually all the ketogenic diets that are being advocated online, and I'm not going to name names because you probably know half of these people. I'm not going to name names, but there are people that have New York Times best-selling ketogenic diet books whose analysis shows exactly the same, what we're talking about. They produce scurvy diets,
right.
low in vitamin C, low in folate, and the magnesium to calcium ratio is totally whacked out, and the potassium to sodium ratio is whacked out. And so you talk about keto flu. What you're actually talking about is total electrolyte imbalance,
yeah.
and that's the problem.
Yes.
And when you stop eating fruits and vegetables, then you're going to go into these electrolyte imbalance. When you start eating cheese, it makes a worse situation worse. A bad situation worse. And so what's the answer? The answer is the paleo diet. Because
right.
the paleo diet doesn't restrict fruit or vegetables. You can eat as much protein and as much fat as you want, and it avoids salt.
Well, but you know what? When we talk about an ancestral diet, and we'll call it the paleo diet because that's what everybody calls it, but when we talk about an ancestral diet, you can still be in ketosis. You know, this illusion that only a high-fat diet produces ketosis
if you're starving.
Yeah,
so you
I mean,
be, if you have a low caloric intake, you can also be
when we measure ketone levels, right? People, oh, I want mine to be 3 millimoles. Listen, you're in ketosis if you're producing a half a millimole of ketones. Well, let me tell you something. If you eat animal protein and salad, or animal
and
protein
what?
And roughage. Green vegetables.
That's right.
Your blood sugar is going to stay low, and your ketones are going to come up a little bit.
So, well, we haven't gotten that far.
I want to take a break.
Okay.
Because when I come back, I want to start to move forward through some of these other issues that you sent me in your notes because they're profound and they can't be ignored. And look, if you're a devotee of the ketogenic diet, then take away from this interview what you better make sure you are getting plenty of in supplemental form so that you don't develop some nutrient deficiency, because that's a big issue. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Thrive Market wants to give you $60 in free organic products of your choice plus free shipping just to get you to check them out.
Over 4,000 organic products to choose from and up to 50% off all their products. And shopping at Thrive Market is more convenient than anywhere else. Order online or on their app in minutes, day or night, and get everything delivered right to your door. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the Thrive Market banner ad and get your $60 in free organic foods and free shipping today.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products, dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
If you suffer from abdominal bloating, relief is here. Introducing
Atrantil.
Developed by a board-certified gastroenterologist, it relieves bloating where it starts, in the small bowel. That's why
Atrantil
works while other remedies don't. In clinical trials, 88% of bloating sufferers who use prescription medications with no relief found
Atrantil
relieve their symptoms, and it's available without a prescription because
Atrantil is
made from a patented molecular combination of botanical extracts. It's not a probiotic. Plus, it's natural, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO.
A-T-R-A-N-T-I-L, Atrantil.
Atrantil. Even the name is proven to make you feel better.
Go to lovemytummy.com and use code SHR for 10% off. That's code SHR at lovemytummy.com. Lovemytummy.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Now I'm lost, and I'm screaming for help.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Lauren Cordain. If you've never heard of him, he quite frankly is the person who gave the paleo diet to the community, led this march. How many years ago now? I mean, I had you on the show almost 13 years.
Carl, it's been a while, and you were kind of one of the first guys that were onto the idea that evolution might point its finger.
Yeah, it may actually mean something. Evolution may, you know, modern medicine acts like evolution doesn't mean anything. It's almost like if you go to work for a Volvo dealer and you've never cracked open a Volvo mechanics guide, and you think you're just going to, because you worked on Chevys, you can work on Volvos. You know, evolution gives us all of the appropriate elements of life for us, because we evolved under those elements, and now we just throw them away and act like it doesn't matter because we're smarter. The website is thepaleodiet.com. It's for those of you who aren't familiar with Dr. Cordain, you need to go there, because this is the website that started it all, and there's so much free stuff there, so many guides and great articles and so on. So let's talk a little bit now. We've identified potential nutrient deficiencies. Let's talk now about renal acid load and things like that.
Yeah, so that was one of the next steps I wanted to go to. And before I do that, I just want your readers to know that I've been working on a blog for the last, probably 2 weeks that puts all of this into kind of a linear fashion that you can read, and documents it with all the scientific references. It actually shows you the nutrient analysis that I performed with the software. So that blog, what is today? Today is Wednesday. That blog will be up and running either tomorrow or Friday. So for your listeners, they can read all about it. They can see the objective documentation of it. But yeah, let's go on and talk about the notion of acid-base balance. And one of the major factors, once again, if you look at this a ketogenic diet, the amount of protein that is advocated by so-called ketogenic experts is anywhere from 15 to 25% of energy, fat 65 to 75, and the balance 5 to 10% energy carbohydrates. So one of the combinations that again, if they would have simply looked at the dietary analysis with software, they would have realized, holy shit, pardon
no, that's okay, I'll bleep it, don't worry about it.
We got this wrong, is that we have this enormous protein intake, an average of over 100 grams of protein. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with high protein, because I advocate that myself. But if you're gonna have a high protein diet, you better have high potassium to go along with it. And just about the worst thing you could do is to have high protein and low potassium. And that's exactly what these ketogenic diets do. Well, what's wrong with high protein, low potassium? All foods report to your kidney as either acid or base. So when you eat a lot of animal protein, those proteins are ultimately broken down into
amino acids.
Sulfur-containing amino acids or sulfuric acid. Okay, so it represents a net acid load. If you eat a lot of potassium, the potassium in fruits and vegetables ultimately go to your kidney and are broken down as to potassium bicarbonate. Mm-hmm. And so potassium bicarbonate serves as a base.
Oh,
and so
wow.
When you have more potassium bicarbonate, then you have more sulfur-containing amino acids, then you have a net base-producing diet. The problem is when you cut your potassium down to practically zero, then what happens, and you elevate your meat or protein-containing meats incredibly high to 100 grams or more, then what you have set up, you've set yourself up for a diet that is net acid-producing. And that net acid-producing diet, over the course of a lifetime, leaches calcium from your bones. The bones represent the largest labile source of base. So the body's got to do something the kidney's got to do something when it encounters an acid-producing diet. And one of the things is it sets up you for taking more calcium out of your bones ultimately. Now, this happens over a lifetime. I'm not saying that it happens in weeks or months. And the body makes accommodations. We tend to, when we have an acid-producing diet, we tend to absorb more calcium. So we tend to stay in calcium balance over a shorter period, let's say years or so. But by the time you get to your fourth or fifth decade, ketogenic diets are absolutely leaching out calcium from your bones, because we simply don't make those compensations metabolically. And
is it adequate for a person who is on a ketogenic diet to simply make sure they're supplementing with magnesium, with potassium,
You damn near have to be a nutritionist to get it right, because if you're going to supplement with calcium, you've got to make sure you supplement your calcium in that 2-to-1 ratio. So a lot of people said, ooh, I'm on a ketogenic diet, I'm going to take a ton of calcium. That's as bad as eating cheese. You have to know how many calories you're eating, and it becomes a very complex situation in which you have to have nutritional software, and you have to know what these ratios are. Now, do you tell me, Carl, do you think these guys that are inventing keto diets are doing any of this?
No. They're not. They're just copying what somebody else does and hoping for the outward effects. Well, there's something else I just thought of, too.
Even the guys, listen, even the physicians that are prescribing ketogenic diets for epileptic children, they're not considering this either.
Yeah, they're not telling their parents.
They're not telling it either. You know why? Because they don't know. And now this information needs to be brought forward. And don't listen to me. Do it yourself. Pull out your nutritional software, throw in the meals, and see where the shortcomings are coming about. And don't think that you can just take calcium to fix the whole thing,
right,
or magnesium, because you've got to take that in the correct ratio as well. Same thing. How are you going to get rid of the salt? Okay? You're going to have, if you want to get your potassium to sodium ratio back to normal values where you overcome the salt that you take, is there anybody out there that are writing these ketogenic diets that know how much potassium to take?
But also there's something else that's afoot here that needs to be discussed. So ketogenic diets, whether it's because they do improve chronic inflammatory situations, or they are highly diuretic, when you first go on a ketogenic diet,
I think that's an assumption to say that they improve.
Well, no. I'm giving everybody the benefit of the doubt. Whether it's a reduction in edema or just that they are highly diuretic, you urinate a lot of fluid out in the early stages of a ketogenic diet. And that, quite frankly, is often seen as a win because it's like, oh, the scale's going down. But think about this. That fluid, you're urinating out more minerals with it. Potassium, sodium. So that initial period, you really run the risk. If you have any underlying heart problems, we know bodybuilders that have died because they got their electrolytes and their diuretics wrong. So
let me tell you this. It's, you know, I don't care what you're seeing with your urinary excretion. You know, that might be going on acutely within the first week or so. But what happens is that when you increase your sodium to those levels, and I can tell you how high they are if you want to see the analysis, the sodium levels are at about 4,500 milligrams. That's 4.5 grams of salt. Recommended daily amounts are between 1,500 and 2,300 milligrams. So you're almost doubling the amount of salt that you're taking. And we know from isotopic studies are in which you label the sodium, and then you see where it ends up. Well, the old dogma, and once again, many of these old physicians, and I'm certain that the keto guys, the guys don't know this, the dogma has always said this, well, listen, if I eat a big load of salt, my kidneys are going to flush it all out, and my blood levels of sodium are normal. And they're right. Plasma concentrations of sodium clear themselves after about a day. And if you drink a lot of water, they clear themselves a little bit sooner. But you know what happens to that salt, that extra salt you take in? We thought that it just was flushed out with urine. No. Isotopic studies now show that that salt that you take in is incorporated into muscle, kidney, brain, heart, virtually all tissues, incorporated intracellularly. So you can't measure it intracellularly except with academic or university or experimental procedures. 23 sodium MRI studies tell you where it comes out. And over the last 5 years, we now know that that high salt that you eat is not flushed out of your body, but actually ends up in the intracellular compartment. And that's the health problem that will get you ultimately.
Well, I want to throw something else, and you may have seen this. A study was just published last week that shows that consuming 6 grams of sodium a day, they did an experiment. Did you see this study? Completely wiped out lactobacillus gut microbes, completely obliterated them in the gut. No lactobacillus left in the gut. So there's other issues going on here. Everybody who wants to love the microbiome, I personally think the microbiome is indicative of a diet. I don't think that it actually causes disease per se. I think it's corollary, not causative. But with that being said, everybody's eating yogurts and taking probiotics. Well, a high sodium diet completely obliterates lactobacillus in your stomach. It's gone, like a nuclear bomb to lactobacillus.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. When you look at the biome of unacculturated people, they've actually done that. They've gone down to South America and looked at the biome of those folks and some of the folks in remote places in Africa where they don't have access to salt. And they find out that the biome looks completely different, many more species than what we have. And conversion to a Western diet, it seems that those folks, when they convert them over for a month or two, their biome reverts or goes to what we have. And it very well could be that salt has an adverse effect. I haven't read that study, but from what you've told me, it seems that that may be part of the problem.
I want to just wrap up osteoporosis, because when we come back from the break, I want to talk about sarcopenia, muscle wasting.
That's also another problem.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that because there was a study just published in April about chronic kidney disease, and it showed the results of a low-protein diet, not on kidney function, but on mTOR-C1 and myostatin. It's very, very interesting to talk about that. But before we do that, is there anything else you want to add to the osteoporosis discussion?
Well, you were getting around to that with the last question that we kind of got off on this, but there actually is a way that you can design a ketogenic diet that doesn't cause all of these electrolyte imbalances. And guess what? That book hasn't been written yet. So when the ketogenic wizards, if I reveal the secret on how to pull it off, then the wizards, the next round of ketogenic books will incorporate this.
Right.
So whether I reveal it or not, maybe we'll just have to wait, Carl.
You know, again, it comes down to the, we are creatures of opportunity. That is what allowed us to thrive as a civilization. And this idea, you know, if you were in ketosis all the time, your body thought, wow, this person can't feed themselves. We're in trouble. That's a negative signal to health and longevity. And so it doesn't surprise me that it's actually harmful to do for long periods of time. I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about muscle wasting and the ketogenic diet. Now, there's a lot of people out there who are bodybuilder types, and obviously you can affect this, but you have to do things, and we're going to talk about when we come back. Stay tuned. Followed my transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then train fasted and remain fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
74% of Americans are living with digestive issues. They take pills and potions to mask the symptoms but never address the root cause. Introducing GI Ultramax Pro, a complex of scientifically substantiated all-star ingredients that reestablish your gut's operating system, allowing you to be better shielded against the bad actors in your food and environment. The gut is complicated, and it takes GI Ultramax Pro to deliver real long-lasting results. Go to superhumanradio.net and click the GI Ultramax Pro banner ad or visit MotherEarthLabs.com and use code SHR for free shipping. Whether your goal is to build muscle or burn fat, you'll find everything you need at Redcon One. Need help getting a good night's sleep? Try Fade Out or the most popular pre-workout supplement on the market today, Total War. Sign up for their new Transformation Challenge and win $10,000 or shop for apparel that people at the gym will know that you are serious about your training. Need a testosterone booster that works? Check out Boomstick. Whatever you need, you'll find the best quality supplements on the market at Redcon One. Go to redcon1.com. That's R-E-D-C-O-N, the number one.com, or go to superhumanradio.net and click the Redcon One banner ad today. What if a sports nutrition company actually let you try all of their best products for free before you ever bought one? You'd be dreaming, right? Well, you're not dreaming. Head over to EFXSports.com and grab their new sample kit that includes not one, not two, but six of their top sellers. That's right, six different samples of their top sellers sent out to you immediately to try. Just cover a small shipping and handling fee, and they're on their way to you. See for yourself why EFX Sports has taken the industry by storm and why so many athletes worldwide depend on their products to dominate their competition safely and legally. Head over to EFXSports.com right now and click the EFX sample kit in the online store and get your free kit today. Once again, that's EFXSports.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. We're talking to Dr. Lauren Cordain. His website is thepaleodiet.com. So, there are people out there who get in and out of ketosis, and they're athletic types, and they seem to be able to accrue muscle because they're doing things to balance out the net response of atrophy versus hypertrophy. But there are average people out there, men and women who are doing keto diets to get thin, stay thin, correct high blood sugar and a variety of other things, who don't really work out. They don't do anything to tip the scales. So what happens when you're on a long-term ketogenic diet to those people as far as muscle wasting goes?
Well, that's exactly right, Carl. Muscle wasting is an adaptive response to the acidosis produced by ketogenic diet. And with muscle breakdown, amino acids are released into the bloodstreams, and those amino acids that are released into the bloodstreams are used as a substrate for the liver to synthesize another amino acid called glutamine. And so glutamine is used by the kidney to synthesize ammonia. And the ammonia molecules that are synthesized, they spontaneously accept protons, and they're excreted as ammonium ions. And the excretion of the ammonium ions removes the protons and therefore mitigates the acidosis. So it's kind of a biochemistry. I'm not sure if your listeners got all that. But basically what happens is that muscle wasting is the adaptive response to an acid-producing diet, and it causes the kidney to synthesize glutamine. Glutamine can be used to synthesize ammonia, and ammonia can be used to get rid of the acidosis. So there's this chain of metabolic events that occurs that ultimately causes muscle wasting. And this is a well-recognized response. You can measure blood nitrogen. And by the way, if there's any scientists listening out here or semi-scientists, you can't, when you measure blood, you have to measure arterial blood. You can't measure capillary or venous blood for any of these effects because it's affected by respiration. So you want to see what's going on with non respiratory blood. And so if you look at the good studies that actually have looked at arterial blood, they show exactly the same thing. They show muscle wasting with these diets, and they also show the calcium losses as well. So again, you have to be somewhat of a scientist to be able to read the literature critically and see what's going on.
Well, so a study that was published in May of this year, I looked at low-protein diets, which are usually given to diabetic kidney patients, people with chronic kidney disease or diabetic kidney disease, because it's understood that high protein loads seem to stress the kidneys out. Well, what they found out quite by accident was that low-protein diets reduce the occurrence of the million target of rapamycin's activities. At the same time, they ramp up the biosynthesis of myostatin. And this could actually be in response to the body going, well, they're not getting enough amino acids in their diet. So just the way the body looks for a base to balance the acidity of the blood and steals it from bone, the body looks to the muscles and steals the amino acids from there that it needs to synthesize things. And let's not forget, every single cell has a messaging system that strings amino acids together in a specific order and syntax as intercellular messengers. And so amino acids aren't just used for fuel. They're used for intercellular communication. Billions and billions of cells that are functioning as a result of, God, what's the name of it? I want to say suprachiasmatic nuclei, but it's the, it'll come to me. I always do this. But billions and billions of cells are using amino acids to communicate. So the body needs amino acids. And if you're not getting them in your diet, it's just going to start taking apart muscle. And it does this by blunting mTOR and ramping up myostatin. And think about that next time you think that a low-protein diet is smart.
Well, that's right, too. And, you know, there are many paradoxical effects. And when you look at kind of the evolutionary endpoint is for survival. And one of the things is when, if you look at higher protein diets, granted, there's this give and take between metabolic acidosis, but also higher protein diets elevate IGF-1, and IGF-1 tends to stimulate muscle and bone growth. So, you know, there's gives and take. And the way we tend to look at things, we, as humans, we look at it unidirectionally. We focus on one nutrient, we focus on this nutrient. And really what's going on, it's this orchestra that's playing with multiple instruments, hundreds of instruments that are playing together, and they're all playing together. And that's kind of what the analogy that you drew and what I can draw is one and the same. But the larger point that maybe the readers can take home is there is a bell-shaped curve in all biological organisms, all cells, everything operate under a bell-shaped curve. That, the reason for that bell-shaped curve, that is literally the hand of evolution shaping biological systems. And if it works, then there's an optimal average for that population for whatever the characteristics, height, weight, calcium, whatever. And within one, within three standard deviations of either side of that bell-shaped curve, you get all phenotypes. You get everything. And so the point is that what we are doing with a ketogenic diet, you are taking the human diet that we've evolved with, and you've shifted it not one, not two, not three standard deviations. You put it at four or five and six standard deviations out to one side or the other of the biological and nutritional norms that humans always evolved in. And when that happens, it elicits itself as disease. And that's why ketogenic diets elicit disease, because the nutrients that they that are included in contemporary ketogenic diets are far and beyond the standard deviations for any of these nutrients.
Yeah, and the endoplasmic reticulum I was trying to think of, it's kind of like the telegraph office between cells. It strings amino acids together. But anyway, so Is it?
Yeah, if you were to take my graduate level classes, of course I'm retired now, you would know the endoplasmic reticulum inside and out, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, no, I know. I just do a radio show. I just have to know.
You're a lot self-taught, and you're one of the most knowledgeable guys that can get the information into a usable form for the average person. A lot of times, the scientific, you know, gibberish, it's like, what the hell are you guys talking about? But and that's what's important, is to get it out to people, because the general people are the ones that need to have this information, and we need to give them the information correctly. And that's where the paleo diet has been perverted by this keto idea, is it's just wrong.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention was osteoporosis and sarcopenia go hand in hand, because we know that when muscles atrophy and their actual torque on bone drops, the bone goes, hey, we don't have to be so strong anymore because we can't develop the forces to hurt ourselves. So bones automatically think, well, let's shed some weight. And so if mTORC is shut off and you're not a person who's going into the gym and training hard, using things like growth hormone maybe, you're on hormone replacement therapy, you're eating a lot of protein, and you are turning mTORC off, then you are going to progressively lose muscle. And as you progressively lose muscle, that's another double whammy for the bones, because the bones go, this muscle doesn't produce much force. We don't need all this bone. Let's thin it out. Isn't that true?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely think you're right, is that, there are biological feedback systems,
yes,
that tend to know what the other end of the body's doing. So, I would agree with that.
I want to take one last commercial break. And when we come back, I want to now take all the things that we've just discussed and juxtapose them onto what are, I guess, the only four studies that have looked at long-term ketogenic diets before in some hunter-gatherer populations or primitive populations?
Oh, yeah, I actually gave you when I emailed you, I sent you those four citations.
Yeah, so let's just touch base on that, because now let's say, okay, we've laid out this plan of what we see happening, but does it actually happen in human populations? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Stay tuned. And if you want to be smart, really smart about diet, go to thepaleodiet.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H-Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started H-Hemp Company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H-Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H-Hemp Company products. Search H-Hemp Company and use code SHR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H-Hemp Company and code SHR.
When's the last time you look forward to taking your pre-workout? I mean, like thinking about it the night before, shaking it up, anticipating the way it tastes? The music starts to thump louder. The weight starts to get lighter. Get ready to feel that way. Bounty Hunter is that pre-workout. Bounty Hunter will make you believe in pre-workouts again. Get free shipping with code SHR on a jug of ridiculously delicious, badass vanilla bourbon Bounty Hunter. Go to wildwestnutrition.com or click the banner ad at superhumanradio.net.
Who ever heard of a supplement company that lets you pick the products they make and sell? What you have now, we are All American Body, a factory direct supplement brand proudly brought to you by All American Pharmaceutical. Don't pay more somewhere else. You can get the same or even better products directly from us. Now check this out. All American Body is a brand about you. Tell us what to make next so you can save big. Go ahead and request a specific ingredient. You know, arginine, citrulline, vitamin D, a product type or category, keto, greens, naturals, herbals, nootropics, and even a specific branded product or formula. We'll either copy it exactly or make it even better. And best of all, it won't cost anything close to what you've been paying, period. And if we do end up using your suggestion, you'll get the first bottle absolutely free. We'll also give you full credit on that product's description page. You'll be famous signing autographs and people asking you to take pictures with them wherever you go. So head on over to allamericanbody.com right now. That's allamericanbody.com and make your product request today. All American Body. Crazy savings, insane results.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Senator Chuck Grassley just submitted a bill to ban hemp products, CBD oils, hemp products. It's silly. We know that the federal government owns the patent on the use of cannabidiol in the management of pain. Why does the government even own an interest in something that they provide oversight to? That's a completely different story. But you may want to stock up if you use hhemp.com's product. Hhemp.com, you get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code SHR. We don't know what's going to happen. We've seen grabs like this happen or attempt to be imposed on Kratom. Didn't work. But be prepared. You've been warned. We're talking with Dr. Lauren Cordain. Now we're going to get into something that is going to be very interesting, and that is what happens when you take all of this information that Dr. Cordain just laid out for us and you overlay it with research that actually exists on humans. So what happens, Dr. Cordain?
Well, thanks for bringing that up, Carl. I remember that I had sent you some information that brought this whole idea of coming back again and talking about ketogenic diets. But back in the very early days of the internet, people and scientists used to talk to one another through what they called listservs. And, I guess it's kind of like putting a group of people into a group email. So we had a listserv that involved probably 20 or maybe up to 40 scientists, all well-recognized names, people that you would absolutely know by now. So this was 20 years ago. And one of the guys in that listserv was a fellow by the name of Stefan Lindeberg. He's an MD, PhD from Sweden. And he and I got together, and we published a number of papers together. And he became known as also one of the early pioneers of the paleo diet movement. And so on our listserv in 97, so that was, 20 years ago, we got into a discussion of the Inuit people. And we were talking about Inuit bone health. And Stefan brought up the point that there were 4 studies that had been done in the early 70s and 80s. And so at the time, these studies were done on people that were in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And so they were living in basically non-westernized societies or cultures. And so what could be seen by looking at the bone of these individuals that were, they measured them with DEXA. They actually had DEXA. They didn't have whole body scans they used, but they used forearm scans so that they could get the radius and the ulna. And There were three studies done using DEXA, and there was another one using another type of X-ray. And all four studies showed that these elderly individuals who, in essence, had been on ketogenic diets most of their lifetime had significantly reduced, much lower than Western values for their bone mineral densities. So one of the ideas is, yeah, okay, they're eating ketogenic diets because they're living in their native cultures where they're getting a lot of salmon and caribou and so forth, and very little plant foods throughout a lifetime. So by the time they're 50, their bones are very much compromised. And there's a couple of things that are going on here. One is obviously they're living at very high latitude, so they're not getting vitamin D all year round. But vitamin D actually can be stored in your body. So if they get a good dose of it during their long summers when the sun shines all day long, they potentially could circumvent that. They're also eating acidotic diets, and they're also not getting very much calcium, although they did they tend to eat the bones of smoked fish and whatever. So there's three things that are working against their bone integrity, and it's an acidotic diet, low calcium, and low vitamin D. So we don't have, you know, at the time when those studies were done, the only data that we had was the DEXA analysis of their bone mineral density. So what can I say? I can say that those are some of the few peoples we've ever seen that have followed ketogenic diets for a lifetime, and the available evidence suggests that they didn't do so well in terms of their bone health.
Not enough is paid attention to the activation of the melanocortin system by sunlight. Way too much credit is given to vitamin D, in my humble opinion. I've really started to dig deep into the melanocortin system. It's profoundly important. Our aversion to sun is also a new factor in diseases of modernity. Skin cancer happens because the foods you're eating, when they are irradiated by the sun, turn into carcinogens in your skin, because we know that if you eat a lot of beta-carotene-based foods, that makes it into the skin and protects. We know that real vitamin A, retinal palmitate, is deficient in almost every type of skin cancer today. These agents enter the body through the gut. They are stored in all tissue, including the skin. When you're eating things that are loaded with chemicals and horrible crap, that gets stored in the skin too. When the sun hits it, it turns it into cancer. And really, we need to return to the sun, folks. The sun, the air, the rain, it all helped us evolve.
Yeah, you know, in all of my books, I've advocated a solar exposure, and you're absolutely right that there are more effects than just through the UV light that you get in terms of the physiology, as opposed to just taking vitamin D. And so I'm a firm believer in that, and if people want to go and look at my books, they can see what we've written about sunshine exposure. And I think that sunshine exposure needs to be gradual and do it in a way in which you don't burn your skin.
Right.
And
if we were still living in out in the wilderness, as the days got longer and the sun got warmer, every single day we would have been indoctrinated into slightly more sunlight and slightly more sunlight. Instead, we stay out of the sun, and then June 6th, we go on vacation and we get in this. It's like, no, you can't make that kind of abrupt transition to sin. It has to be slowly exposed. Also, I got to point out something. Your website, Hearty Irish Lamb Stew, sheet pan flank steak with kale and roasted sweet potatoes. Folks, these are some amazing recipes. I'm going to Ireland at the end of the month. The lamb stew, I'm like, oh, I need to make that now so that I look forward to having it when I get to Ireland. But also,
as opposed to the recipes about lamb stew and flank steak that you'll get from Keto Guys, we make our recipes with a ton of leafy green vegetables.
Right.
And I mentioned that the key to following a ketogenic diet, and you mentioned it too, but I'm going to emphasize and repeat it, is if you don't eat salt and you eat a ton of leafy greens, you can pull off a ketogenic diet. But to date, I don't think any of the ketogenic diet authors have discovered that yet.
Well, and the reality is that eating kale or eating spinach is not going to push you out of ketosis. It may drop you from 3 millimoles to a half. But why are you at 3 millimoles anyway? Are you curing brain cancer? Do you have seizures? Or are you doing it because you can't wait to post your ketone levels on Facebook to show people?
Well, I'd also like to point out is that not only do kale and spinach give you calcium to magnesium in the correct ratio, they're also one of the most incredible sources of vitamin K1. And when we look at bone health, we can't ignore vitamin K1. If you eat a ketogenic diet, chances are you could also be deficient or insufficient in K1. But animal foods also can give you K1 as well. So it just depends on how much fat you eat.
Yeah. And you know, and this is, again, we did not eat all fat all the time. Unless
no.
we lived in, we were Inuit, nothing grows there. There's no, you know, and this is also an argument against this whole idea that vegan is the way to go. It's not. It's not. I mean, the real human diet is in the middle. And it's sensible.
Right. We are omnivores, and we, you know, once we decided to no longer be chimpanzees or gorillas, once we went down the evolutionary road of making stone tools, we started to use those stone tools to disarticulate and butcher the carcasses, first of scavenged animals, and then later we hunted them ourselves. And so we have always, throughout our evolution of a genus Homo, we have always been omnivores. And that's the real key. And we've never been obligate carnivores, nor have we ever been obligate vegetarians.
Right.
And so people that take those two extremes to one side or the other are going to end up with health problems. And just like I said about the normal distribution, a vegan diet or an all-carnivore diet are standard deviations beyond the nutrients that we need.
Dave Randolph, who's listening to the show live, just posted on my Facebook wall an article from naturalproductsinsider.com. CBD industry avoids setback in Congress. The Senate voted on the ag bill, but they did not include the hemp portion of it. So we are still safe for those of us who like to use CBD oil to relieve aches and pains. Good news. Thank you, Dave Randolph, for posting that. Of course, go to thepaleodiet.com. Let Dr. Cordain know that you heard him on the show today. And critical thinking and sensibility, man, it really comes down to that in every aspect of life and especially diet. Dr. Cordain, thanks for being on. And we have another topic we're going to do in the near future as soon as you're available again, right?
That's right, Carl. It's always a pleasure. I've been doing interviews on your shows for as long as I think anybody has interviewed me. So thank you so much for thinking about me. And once again, it's always a pleasure to appear on your show.
Talk soon, okay?
Okay, will do.
All right, and we're going to say goodbye because actually I had another interview today with somebody from the Department of Defense. They just published a study on how to time your caffeine supplementation. I think someone from the DOD went to my website and said, oh, no, we don't want to be on this guy's show because he's promoting all sorts of crazy stuff. So we're going to try to have somebody else on to interpret their work perhaps next week. So that's all I've got for today. This is Wednesday. Dr. Jeff is traveling to Florida. That's why he is not on today. Those of you who are going, what happened to Science for Humans? But he will be on next week. All right, so we'll see you right tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. And thank you for listening today. And remember, if you can't listen live, there's always the podcast.